ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Welcoming Parideh Prabhu, who's come all the way from Vrindavan. Haribo! Thank you for coming. We're taking up our reading where we left off at the lunch break. Seventh canto, first chapter. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. We're in text 36. The great Saint Narada said, once upon a time when the four sons of Lord Brahma, named Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Sanat Kumara, were wandering throughout the three worlds, they came by chance to Vishnu Loka. Although these four great sages were older than Brahma's other sons, like Marichi, they appeared like small naked children, only 5 or 6 years old. When giant Vijay saw them trying to enter Vaikuntha Loka, these two gatekeepers, thinking them ordinary children, forbade them to enter. Purport in this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says in his Tantra Sara, the purport is that the personal associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka are always liberated souls. Even if sometimes cursed or blessed, they are always liberated and never contaminated by the material modes of nature. Before their liberation to Vaikuntha Loka, they possessed material bodies. But once they came to Vaikuntha, they no longer have them. Therefore, even if the associates of Lord Vishnu sometimes descend as if cursed, they are always liberated. 38. Thus checked by the doorkeepers Jayan Vijay, Sanandana and the other great sages very angrily cursed them. You two foolish gatekeepers, they said, being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you are unfit to live at the shelter of Madhudvisha's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. It would be better for you to go immediately to the material world and take your birth in a family of most sinful asuras. While Jayan Vijay, thus cursed by the sages, were falling to the material world, they were addressed as follows by the same sages, who were very kind to them. O doorkeepers, after three births, you will be able to return to your positions in Vaikuntha Loka, in Vaikuntha, for then the duration of the curse will have ended. These two associates of the Lord, Jayan Vijay, later descending to the material world, taking births as the two sons of Diti, Hiranyakashipu, being the elder, and Hiranyaka, the younger, they were very much respected by the Daityas and Danavas, demoniac species.
Text 41. Appearing as Nrisimhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, killed Hiranyakashipu. When the Lord delivered the planet Earth, which had fallen in the Garbhodak Ocean, Hiranyaksha tried to hinder him, and then the Lord, as Varaha, killed Hiranyaksha. Text 42. Desiring to kill his son Prahlad, who was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu tortured him in many ways. 43. The Lord, the Supersoul of all living entities, is sober, peaceful, and equal to everyone. Since the great devotee Prahlad was protected by the Lord's potency, Hiranyakashipu was unable to kill him, in spite of endeavoring to do so in various ways. Purport. In this verse, the word Sarvabhutatma Bhutam is very significant. Ishwarak Sarvabhutanam Riddhisher Junatishtati. The Lord is equally situated in the core of everyone's heart. Thus, he cannot be envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. For him, everyone is the same. Although he is sometimes seen to punish someone, this is exactly like a father is punishing his child for the child's welfare. The Supreme Lord's punishment is also a manifestation of the Lord's equality. Therefore the Lord is described as Prashantam Samadarshanam. Although the Lord has to execute his will properly, he is equipoised in all circumstances. He is equally disposed toward everyone. Text 44. Thereafter the same giant Vijay, the two doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, begotten by Bishrava in the womb of Keshini. They were extremely troublesome to all the people of the universe. Text 45. Narada Muni continued, "My dear king, just to relieve giant Vijay of the Brahmana's curse, Lord Ramachandra appeared in order to kill Ravana and Kumbhakarna. It will be better for you to hear narrations about Lord Ramachandra's activities from Markandeya." 46. In their third birth, the same giant Vijay appeared in the family of Kshatriyas as your cousins, the sons of your aunt. Because Lord Krishna has struck them with his disc, all their sinful reactions have been destroyed, and now they are free from the curse. Purport. In their last birth, giant Vijay did not become demons or rakshasas. Instead, they took birth in a very exalted Kshatriya family related to Krishna's family. They became first cousins of Lord Krishna and were practically on an equal footing with him. By personally killing them with his own disc, Lord Krishna destroyed whatever sinful reactions were left in them because of the curse of the Brahmanas. Narada Muni explained to Maharaj Yudhishthira that by entering Krishna's body, Shishubal re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the Lord's associate. Everyone had seen this incident. These two associates of Lord Vishnu, Jai and Vijay, maintained a feeling of enmity for a very long time. Because of always thinking of Krishna in this way, they regained the shelter of the Lord, having returned home, back to Godhead. Purport. Whatever their position, certainly Jai and Vijay always thought of Krishna. Therefore, at the end of the Maushala Lila, these two associates of the Lord returned to Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Narayana's body. Therefore, although they visibly entered the body of Krishna, they actually re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu. Through Lord Krishna's body, they returned to Vaikuntha, although they seemed to have attained Sayujamukti in Krishna's body. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired, "My Lord Narada Muni, why was there such enmity between Hiranyakashipu and his beloved son, Prahlad Maharaj? How did Prahlad Maharaj become such a great devotee of Lord Krishna? Kindly explain this to me." Purport. All the devotees of Lord Krishna are called Achyutatma because they follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Achyuta refers to the infallible Lord Vishnu, whose heart is always infallible. Because the devotees are attached to the infallible, they are called Achyutatma. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 1st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled "The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone."
Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Text number 1. Shri Narada Muni said, "My dear King Yudhishthira, when Lord Vishnu, in the form of Varaha, the boar, killed Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha's brother Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and began to lament.
Purport: Yudhishthira had inquired from Narada Muni why Hiranyakashipu was so envious of his own son Prahlada. Narada Muni began narrating the story by explaining how Hiranyakashipu had become a staunch enemy of Lord Vishnu. Filled with rage and biting his lips, Hiranyakashipu gazed at the sky with eyes that blazed in anger, making the whole sky smoky. Thus he began to speak. Purport: As usual, the demon is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and inimical toward him. These were Hiranyakashipu's external bodily features as he considered how to kill Lord Vishnu and devastate his kingdom, Vaikuntha Loka. Exhibiting his terrible teeth, fierce glance and frowning eyebrows terrible to see, he took up his weapon, a trident, and thus began speaking to his associates, the assembled demons. O Danavas, O Daityas, O Dvimurda, Traksha, Shambara, and Shatabahu, O Hayagriva, Numuchi, Paka, and Ilval, O Viprachiti, Puloman, Shakuna, and other demons, all of you kindly hear me attentively and then act according to my words without delay.
Text 6. My insignificant enemies, the demigods, have combined to kill my very dear and obedient well-wisher, my brother, Hiranyaksha. Although the Supreme Lord Vishnu was always equal to both of us, namely the demigods and the demons, this time, being devoutly worshipped by the demigods, he has taken their side and helped them kill Hiranyaksha. Purport: As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, the Lord is equal to all living entities. Since the demigods and demons are both living entities, how is it possible that the Lord was partial to one class of living beings and opposed to another? Actually, it is not possible for the Lord to be partial. Nonetheless, since the demigods, the devotees, always strictly follow the Supreme Lord's orders, because of sincerity, they are victorious over the demons, who know that the Supreme Lord is Vishnu, but do not follow his instructions. Because of constantly remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, the demons generally attain Sayujya Mukti after death. The demon Hiranyakashipu accused the Lord of being partial because the demigods worshipped him, but in fact the Lord, like the government, is not partial at all. The government is not partial to any citizen, but if a citizen is law-abiding, he receives abundant opportunities from the state laws to live peacefully and fulfill his real interests. 7 and 8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given up his natural tendency of equality toward the demons and demigods. Although he is the Supreme Person, now influenced by Maya, he has assumed the form of a boar to please his devotees, the demigods, just as a restless child leans toward someone. I shall therefore sever Lord Vishnu's head from his trunk by my trident, and with the profuse blood from his body, I shall please my brother Hiranyaksha, who is so fond of sucking blood. Thus shall I too be peaceful. Purport: The defect of the demoniac mentality is expressed in this verse very clearly. Hiranyakashipu thought that Vishnu also becomes partial, like a child whose mind is not steady or resolute. The Lord can change his mind at any time, Hiranyakashipu thought, and therefore his words and activities are like those of children. Actually, because the demons are ordinary human beings, their minds change, and being materially conditioned, they think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is conditioned also. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Avajanantinam mudha manushim tanamashritam, fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Demons always think that Vishnu can be killed. Therefore, being absorbed in thoughts of Vishnu's form to kill him, at least they have the opportunity to think of Vishnu unfavorably. Although they are not devotees, their thinking of Vishnu is effective, and thus they generally attain Sayujya Mukti. Because the demons consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary living being, they think that they can kill Lord Vishnu as one might kill an ordinary person. Another fact disclosed herein is that the demons are very much fond of sucking blood. Indeed, all of them are meat-eaters and blood-suckers. Hiranyakashipu accused the Supreme Lord of having a restless mind like that of a small child who can be induced to do anything if simply offered some cakes and laddus. Indirectly, this indicates the true position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhaktya priyachiti tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami priyatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. The Lord accepts the offerings of devotees because of their transcendental love. Because they are in love with the Supreme Lord, they do not eat anything without offering it first to the Lord. The Lord does not hanker for a small leaf or flower. He has enough to eat. Indeed, he is feeding all living entities. Nonetheless, because he is very merciful and is bhaktavatsala, very favorable to the devotees, he certainly eats whatever they offer him with love and devotion. This quality should not be misjudged to be childish. The highest quality of the Supreme Lord is that he is bhaktavatsala. In other words, he is always extremely pleased with his devotees. As for the word maya, when used in reference to the dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, this word means affection. The actions of the Lord to favor his devotees are not disqualifications, but signs of his natural affection. As for Rudhira, or the blood of Lord Vishnu, since there is no possibility of severing Lord Vishnu's head from his body, there is no question of blood, but the garland that decorates Lord Vishnu's body is as red as blood. When the demons achieve Sayujya Mukti and leave behind their sinful activities, they are blessed by Vishnu's garland, which is red like blood. After attaining Sayujya Mukti, the demons are sometimes promoted to the Vaikuntha world, where they receive the reward of the Lord's garland prasad. Text 9. When the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods, for whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul, will lose the source of their life and wither away. Purport. The difference between the demigods and the demons is here explained. The demigods always follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demons simply plan to disturb or kill him. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. This is indirect glorification of the demigods by the demons. Text 10. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engaged in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's main purpose was to disturb the demigods. He planned first to kill Lord Vishnu, so that with Lord Vishnu's death, the demigods would automatically weaken and die. Another of his plans was to disturb the residents of the planet Earth. The peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth and all the other planets were maintained by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyamaya Srishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. On all the planets, there are different types of residents, but the Lord recommends, referring especially to the planet Earth, which is inhabited by human beings, that society be divided into four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Before the advent of Lord Krishna on this earth, it is understood that the earth was managed by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The duty of the Brahmanas is to cultivate shamak, peacefulness, dhammak, self-control, titiksha, tolerance, satyam, truthfulness, shocham, cleanliness, and arjavam, simplicity, and then to advise the Kshatriya kings how to rule the country or planet. Following the instructions of the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas should engage the populace in austerity, sacrifices, Vedic study, and adherence to the rules and regulations established by Vedic principles. They should also arrange for charity to be given to the Brahmanas, sannyasis, and temples. This is the godly arrangement of Brahminical culture. People are inclined to offer yajna because unless sacrifices are offered, there will be insufficient rain, yajyat bhavati parjanya, which will hamper agricultural activities, parjanyad anasambhavah. By introducing Brahminical culture, therefore a Kshatriya government should engage people in performing yajna, studying the Vedas, and giving charity. Thus the people will receive their necessities for life very easily, and there will be no disturbances in society. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 3.12, Ishtan bhogani vo deva dasyante jagyabhavitaha thayadatan apadayaibhyo yobhungte stena evasaha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by performance of yajna, sacrifice, supply all necessities to man. But he who enjoys these gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. The demigods are authorized supplying agents who act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what this Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yajnas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely, according to different qualities. For example, the meat-eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature, and before the goddess, sacrifice of animals is recommended. But for those in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. Ultimately, all yajnas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least five yajnas, known as Pancha Mahayajna, are necessary. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that human society requires are supplied by demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Consider, for example, all the eatables of human society. These eatables include grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, and sugar for persons in the mode of goodness, and also eatables for the non-vegetarians, such as meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. Then again, take for example heat, light, water, and air, which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by human society. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, or breeze, without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord, with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attained by performance of yajñas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A thieves can never be happy, for they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification. Nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajñas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajña, namely the Sankirtana yajña, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu planned to kill the inhabitants of earth so that yajña would stop and the demigods, being disturbed, would die automatically when Lord Vishnu, the Yajneshwara, was killed. These were the demoniac plans of Hiranyakashipu, who was expert in such activities.
The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pitas, and the people in general. When the brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the kshatriyas to perform yajñas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajña, will automatically die. Purport: since Vishnu is the central point of Brahminical culture, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to kill Vishnu, for if Vishnu were killed, naturally the Brahminical culture would be lost, would also be lost. The Brahminical culture, with Brahminical culture lost, yajña would no longer be performed, and for want of yajña, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajna bhavati parjanya. Thus there would be disturbances all over the world, and naturally the demigods would be defeated. From this verse we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the brahmanas are stopped. Kalush Kalao Shudra Sambhava. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost and is extremely difficult to reestablish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevala. Kalau nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. Because of the increment in demoniac population, people have lost Brahminical culture. Nor is there a Kshatriya government. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the governmental reins and capture the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effects of Kali Yuga, the Shastra says, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajusu. The government will adopt the policies of Dasyus, or plunderers. Thus there will be no instructions from the Brahmanas. And even if there are Brahminical instructions, there will be no Kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satya Yuga, even formerly in the days when demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government and thus create chaos all over the world. Although in Satya Yuga this plan was very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, or the Hare Krishna Movement, has been inaugurated to revive Brahminical culture very easily so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from the Ramana Purana. Vipra yagnari mulam tu harajityasuram matam harareva hi sarvasya mulam sanyan matonrapa. O king, the demons think that Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of the Brahmanas and Yajna, but factually Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmanas and Yajna. Therefore, through the popularizing of Hari Kirtan, or the Sankirtan movement, the Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back and people will be extremely happy. Hari Bol. 12. Immediately go wherever there is good populace. Can we get a Hari Bol on that? Thank you. Immediately go wherever there is a good protection for the cows and brahmanas, and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashrama principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there, which are the source of life. Purport. The picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here. In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect brahmanas. Similarly, there must be kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely according to the injunctions of the shastras, and there must be vaishyas who can protect the cows. The word gavaha indicates that cows should be given protection. Because the Vedic civilization is lost, cows are not now protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. The Varnashrama Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahmana to guide, a Kshatriya to rule perfectly, and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible. Another point is that trees also should be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial enterprises. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry, in particular for paper mills that manufacture a profuse quantity of paper for the publication of demoniac propaganda, nonsensical literature, huge quantities of newspapers, and many other paper products. This is a sign of a demoniac civilization. The cutting of trees is prohibited unless necessary for the service of Lord Vishnu. Jagnartha kamano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Lord Vishnu must be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. But if the paper mills stop producing paper, one may argue, how can our ISKCON literature be published? The answer is that the paper mills should manufacture paper only for the publication of ISKCON literature, because ISKCON literature is published for the service of Lord Vishnu. This literature clarifies our relationship with Lord Vishnu, and therefore the publication of ISKCON literature is the performance of yajna. Jagnartha kamano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Yajna must be performed, as indicated by the superior authorities. The cutting of trees simply to manufacture paper for the publication of unwanted literature is the greatest sinful act. 13. Thus the demons, being fond of disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances. According to his directions, they engage in envious activities directed against all living beings. Purport. The followers of demoniac principles, as described here, are thoroughly envious of the general populace. In the present day, scientific advancement exemplifies such envy. The discovery of nuclear energy has been disastrous to people in general because demons all over the world are manufacturing nuclear weapons. The word Kadana Priya is very significant in this regard. The demon, the dwaniac persons who want to kill the Vedic culture are extremely envious of the feeble citizens, and they act in such a way that ultimately their discoveries will be inauspicious for everyone, Jagatohita. The 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. 14. The demons set fire to the cities, villages, pasturing grounds, cow pens, gardens, agricultural fields, and natural forests. They burned the hermitages of the saintly persons, the important mines that produce valuable metals, the residential quarters of the agriculturalists, the mountain villages, and the villages of the cow protectors, the cowherd men. They also burned the government capitals. Purport. The word Udyana refers to places where trees are especially grown to produce fruits and flowers, Udyana, which are most important for human civilization. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya priyachyate taraham bhakti paritam ashnami paritatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Fruits and flowers are very much pleasing to the Lord. If one wants to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can simply offer fruits and flowers, and the Lord will be pleased to accept them. Our only duty is to please the Supreme Godhead. Samsudir Haritoshanam. Whatever we do and whatever our occupation, our main purpose should be to please the Supreme Lord. All the paraphernalia mentioned in this verse is especially meant for the satisfaction of the Lord, not the satisfaction of one's senses. The government, indeed, the entire society should be structured in such a way that everyone can be trained to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unfortunately, especially in this age, Nate vitu swartakatim hi Vishnum, people do not know that the highest goal of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. On the contrary, like demons, they simply plan to kill Vishnu and be happy by sense gratification. 15. Some of the demons took digging instruments and broke down the bridges, the protective walls, and the gates, gopuras, of the cities. Some took axes and began cutting the important trees that produced mango, jackfruit, and other sources of food. Some of the demons took firebrands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. Purport. The cutting of trees is generally prohibited, in particular trees that produce nice fruit for the maintenance of human society should not be cut. In different countries, there are different types of fruit trees. In India, the mango and jackfruit trees are prominent, and in other places, there are mango trees, jackfruit trees, coconut trees, and berry trees. Sorry. Any tree that produces nice fruit for the maintenance of the people should not be cut at all. This is the Shastric injunction. I'm going to get a berry tree.
Thus disturbed again and again by the unnatural occurrences caused by the followers of Hiranyakashipu, all the people had to cease the activities of Vedic culture. Not receiving the results of yajna, the demigods also became disturbed. They left their residential quarters on the heavenly planets and, unobserved by the demons, began wandering on the planet Earth to see the disasters. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the performance of yajna brings reciprocal good fortune for both the human beings and the demigods. When the performances of yajna were stopped by the disturbances of the demons, the demigods were naturally bereft of the results of yajna and hampered in executing their respective duties. Therefore, they came down to the planet Earth to see how people had become disturbed and to consider what to do. 17. After performing the ritualistic observances for the death of his brother, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely unhappy, tried to pacify his nephews. O King Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry, but since he was a great politician, he knew how to act according to the time and situation. With sweet words, he began pacifying his nephews, whose names were Shakuni, Shambhara, Drishti, Bhutasanatapana, Brika, Kalanaba, Mahanaba, Harishmashru, and Utkacha. He also consoled their mother, his sister-in-law, Rushabhanu, as well as his own mother, Diti. He spoke to them all as follows. Hiranyakashipu said, "My dear mother, sister-in-law, and nephews, you should not lament for the death of the great hero, for a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable."
My dear mother, in a restaurant or place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together, and after drinking water, they continue their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family, and later, as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. Purport. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah hankara vimhutatma kartahamiti manyate kartahamiti manyate kartahamiti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by material nature. All living entities act exactly according to the directions of prakriti, material nature, because in the material world we are fully under a higher control. All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment and have thus been sent here to be conditioned by material nature in different degrees. In the material world, a so-called family is a combination of several persons in one home to fulfill the terms of their imprisonment. As criminal prisoners scatter as soon as their terms are over and they are released, all of us who have temporarily assembled as family members will continue to our respective destinations. Another example given is that family members are like straws carried together by the waves of a river. Sometimes such straws mix together in whirlpools and later, dispersed again by the same waves, they float alone in the water. Although Hiranyakashipu is a demon, he had Vedic knowledge and understanding. Thus the advice given to his family members, his sister-in-law, mother, and nephews, was quite sound. The demons are considered highly elevated in knowledge, but because they do not use their good intelligence for the service of the Lord, they are called demons. The demigods, however, act very intelligently to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13 as follows. Atak pumbir dvija shreshta varna shrama vibhagashah shanushtistasya dharmasya samsadhir haritoshanam samsadhir haritoshanam samsadhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. To become a demigod or to become godly, whatever one's occupation, one must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 22. The spirit soul, the living entity, has no death, for he is eternal and inexhaustible. Being free from material contamination, he can go anywhere in the material world or spiritual, in the material or spiritual worlds. He is fully aware and completely different from the material body, but because of being misled by misuse of his slight independence, he is obliged to accept subtle and gross bodies created by the material energy and thus be subjected to so-called material happiness and distress. Therefore, no one should lament for the passing of the spirit soul from the body. Purport. Hiranyakashipu very intelligently described the position of the soul. The soul is never the body, but is always completely different from the body.
Being eternal and inexhaustible, the soul has no death, but when the same pure soul desires to enjoy the material world independently, he is placed under the conditions of material nature and must therefore accept a certain type of body and suffer the pains and pleasures thereof. This is also described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. The living entity is born in different families or species of life because of being infected by the modes of material nature. When conditioned by material nature, the living entity must accept a certain type of body which is offered by nature under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridish arjuna chishtiti brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The body is just like a machine, and according to the living entity's karma, he is offered a particular type of machine to move here and there under the control of material nature. This continues until he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Until he surrenders, the conditioned soul is carried from life to life by the arrangement of material nature. 23. Because of the movements of the water, the trees on the bank of a river, when reflected on the water, seem to move. Similarly, when the eyes move because of some mental derangement, the land appears to move also. Purport. Sometimes, because of mental derangement, the land appears to be moving. A drunkard, for example, or a person with heart disease, sometimes feels that the land is moving. Similarly, the reflections of trees in a flowing river also appear to move. These are the actions of Maya. Actually, the living entity does not move. Stanur Achaloyam. The living entity does not take birth or accept death. But because of the transient, subtle, and gross bodies, the living entity appears to move from one place to another, or be dead and gone forever. As the great Bengali Vaishnava poet Jagadananda Pandit has said, Pishachi poile jena mati chana hoy, maya grashta jiver hoy she bhavo udoy. According to this statement from the Prema Vivarta, from where? When a living entity is conditioned by material nature, he is exactly like a person haunted by a ghost. One should therefore understand the fixed position of the spirit soul and how he is carried away by the waves of material nature to different bodies and different situations under lamentation and hankering. One achieves the success of life when he understands the constitutional position of his self and is undisturbed by the conditions created by material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Text number 24. Everyone okay? You know, there's another chair back in that corner. Would you like that chair back there? Give a Prabhu that access to that chair. He'll sit back there. It's more comfortable. I hope. Chairs are not India's strong suit. They're not really into furniture in this country. Better? Something. Inconvenience is regretted. In the same way, my gentle mother, when the mind is agitated by the movements of the modes of material nature, the living entity, although freed from all the different phases of the subtle and gross bodies, thinks that he has changed from one condition to another. Purport, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13, Yasya mabhuti kunape thridatuke swadhi kalatradi shubhavma ijadi yatirta buddhi salilena karichich janishu abhigeshu sa eva gokara janishu abhigeshu sa eva gokara janishu abhigeshu sa eva gokara. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like a cow or an ass. Although Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, he was not as foolish as the population of the modern world. Hiranyakashipu had clear knowledge of the spirit soul and the subtle and gross bodies. But now we are so degraded that everyone, including the exalted scientists, philosophers, and other leaders, is under the bodily conception of life, which is condemned in the Shastras. Sa eva gokara. Such persons are nothing but cows and asses. Hiranyakashipu advised his family members that although the gross body of his brother Hiranyaka was dead, and they were aggrieved because of this, they should not lament for the great soul of Hiranyaka, who had already attained his next destination. Atma, the spirit soul, is always unchanged. Avikalapuman. We are spirit souls. But when carried away by mental activities, manudharma, we suffer from so-called material conditions of life. This generally happens to non-devotees. Harava bhaktasya kato muhat guna. Non-devotees may possess exalted material qualities, but because they are foolish, they have no good qualifications. The designations of the conditioned soul in the material world are decorations of the dead body. The conditioned soul has no information of the spirit soul and its exalted existence beyond the effects of the material nature. I'd like to
trade in my daily double.
Really?
Yeah.
Trade in for what? That's the question. I'm supposed to do that.
$25 and $26, the daily double. That's what I'm wondering. What's going to be the payment here? Okay. In his bewildered state, the living entity, accepting the body and mind to be the self, considers some people to be his kinsmen and others to be outsiders. Because of this misconception, he suffers. Indeed, the accumulation of such concocted material ideas is the cause of suffering and so-called happiness in this material world. Just a second. In its bewildered state, the living entity, accepting the body and mind to be the self, considers some people to be his kinsmen and others to be outsiders. Because of this misconception, he suffers. Indeed, the accumulation of such concocted material ideas is the cause of suffering and so-called happiness in the material world. The conditioned soul thus situated must take birth in different species and work in various types of consciousness, thus creating new bodies. This continued material life is called samsara. Birth, death, lamentation, foolishness, and anxiety are due to such material considerations. Thus we sometimes come to a proper understanding and sometimes fall again to a wrong conception of life. 27. In this regard, an example is given from an old history. This involves a discourse between Yamaraj and the friends of a dead person. Please hear it attentively. Purport. The words itihasam puratanam mean an old history. The Puranas are not chronologically recorded, but the incidents mentioned in the Puranas are actual histories of bygone ages. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Mahapurana, the essence of all the Puranas. The Mayavadi scholars do not accept the Puranas, but Srila Madhvacharya and all other authorities accept them as the authoritative histories of the world.
In the state known as Ushinara, there was a celebrated king named Suyogya. When the king was killed in battle by his enemies, his kinsmen sat down around the dead body and began to lament the death of their friend. His golden bejeweled armor smashed, his ornaments and garlands fallen from their places, his hair scattered and his eyes lusterless. The slain king lay in the battlefield, his entire body smeared with blood, his heart pierced by the arrows of the enemy. When he died, he had wanted to show his prowess, and thus he had bitten his lips, and his teeth remained in that position. His beautiful lotus-like face was now black and covered with dust from the battlefield. His arms, with his sword and other weapons, were cut and broken. When the queens of the king of Ushinara saw their husband lying in that position, they began crying, "O Lord, now that you have been killed, we also have been killed." Repeating these words again and again, they fell down, pounding their breasts at the feet of the dead king. Purport. As stated here, Rabasa Dashtadachadam, the dead king, while fighting in anger, bit his lips to show his prowess, but nonetheless, he was killed by providence. Vidina. This proves that we are controlled by higher authorities. Our personal power or endeavor is not always supreme. We must therefore accept the position offered to us by the order of the Supreme. Really? Something's happening here. I don't know what it is. You know, this magnanimity is like... As the queens loudly cried, their tears glided down their breasts, becoming reddened by kumkum powder, and fell upon the lotus feet of their husband. Their hair became disarrayed, their ornaments fell, and in a way that evoked sympathy from the hearts of others. The queens began lamenting their husband's death. 33. O Lord, you have now been removed by cruel providence to a state beyond our sight. You had previously sustained the livelihood of the inhabitants of Ushinara, and thus they were happy. But your condition now is the cause of their unhappiness. O King, O Hero, you are a very grateful husband and the most sincere friend of all of us. How shall we exist without you? O Hero, wherever you are going, please direct us there so that we may follow in your footsteps and engage again in your service. Let us go along with you. Purport. Formerly a Kshatriya king was generally the husband of many wives, and after the death of the king, especially in the battlefield, all the queens would agree to accept Sahamarana, dying with the husband who was their life. When Pandu Maharaj, the father of the Pandavas, died, his two wives, namely the mother of Yudhishthira Bhima and Arjuna, and the mother of Nakula and Sahadev, were both ready to die in the fire with their husband. Later, after a compromise was arranged, Kunti stayed alive to care for the little children, and the other wife, Madri, was allowed to die with her husband. This system of Sahamarana continued in India even until the time of British rule, but later it was discouraged since the attitude of wives gradually changed with the advancement of Kali Yuga. Thus, the system of Sahamarana has practically been abolished. Nevertheless, within the past 50 years, I have seen the wife of a medical practitioner voluntarily accept death immediately when her husband died. Both the husband and wife were taken in procession in the mourning cart. Such intense love of a chaste wife for her husband is a special case. 35. The time was appropriate for the body to be burned, but the queens, not allowing it to be taken away, continued lamenting for the dead body, which they kept on their laps. In the meantime, the sun completed his movements for setting in the West. Purport. According to the Vedic system, if a person dies during the daytime, it is customary for his funeral ceremony to be performed before the sun sets, regardless of whether he is burned or buried. And if he dies at night, the funeral must be completed before the next sunrise. Apparently, the queens continued lamenting for the dead body, the lump of matter, and would not allow it to be taken away for burning. This illustrates the strong grip of illusion among foolish persons who consider the body the self. Women are generally considered less intelligent. Because of ignorance only, the queens thought the dead body as their husband, and somehow or other thought that if the body were kept, their husband would remain with them. Such a conception of the self is certainly for Gokhara, cows, and asses. We have actually seen that sometimes when a cow's calf has died, the milkman cheats the cow by presenting before her the dead body of the calf. Thus the cow, who would otherwise not allow milking, licks the dead body of the calf and allows herself to be milked. This substantiates the description of the Shastra that a foolish man in the bodily concept of life is like a cow. Not only do foolish men and women consider the body the self, but we have even seen that the dead body of a so-called yogi was kept for days by his disciples, who thought that their guru was in samadhi. When decomposition began and the bad smell unfortunately began to overwhelm the yogic power, the disciples allowed the dead body of the so-called yogi to be burned. Thus, the bodily concept of life is extremely strong among foolish persons who are compared to cows and asses. Nowadays, great scientists are trying to freeze dead bodies so that in the future, those frozen bodies may again be brought to life. The incident narrated by Hiranyakashipu from history must have taken place millions of years ago, because Hiranyakashipu lived millions of years ago and was even then quoting from history. Thus the incident occurred before Hiranyakashipu's lifetime, but the same ignorance in the bodily concept of life is still prevalent, not only among laymen, but even among scientists who think they will be able to revive frozen corpses. Apparently the queens did not want to deliver the dead body for burning because they were afraid of dying with the dead body of their husbands.
You didn't read that chapter about Chitraketu.
It's a shame people don't know that. It sure messes things up, huh? 36. While the queens were lamenting for the dead body of the king, their loud cries were heard even from the abode of Yamaraj. Assuming the body of a boy, Yamaraj personally approached the relatives of the dead body and advised them as follows. Purport. Sometimes the living entity is forced to give up his body and enter another one according to the judgment of Yamaraj. It is difficult, however, for the conditioned soul to enter another body unless the present dead body is annihilated through cremation or some other means. The living being has attachment for the present body and does not want to enter another, and thus, in the interim, he remains a ghost. If a living being who has already left his body has been pious, Yamaraj, just to give him relief, will give him another body. Since the living being in the body of the king had some attachment to his body, he was hovering as a ghost, and therefore Yamaraj, what? Oh, I thought you saw a ghost. And therefore Yamaraj, as a special consideration, approached the lamenting relatives to instruct them personally. Yamaraj approached them as a child, because a child is not restricted, but is granted admittance anywhere, even to the palace of a king. Besides this, the child was speaking philosophy. People are very much interested in hearing philosophy when it's spoken by a child.
37, Sri Yamaraj said, "Alas, how amazing it is. These persons who are older than me have full experience that hundreds and thousands of living entities have taken birth and died. Thus they should understand that they also are apt to die, yet still they are bewildered. The conditioned soul comes from an unknown place and returns after death to that same unknown place. There is no exception to this rule, which is conducted by material nature. Knowing this, why do they uselessly lament?" Purport. The Lord said in Bhagavad Gita 2.28, "Avyakta dini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidyana neva tatraka paridevana tatraka paridevana tatraka paridevana." All created beings are unmanifest in their beginning, manifest in their interim state, and unmanifest again when they are annihilated. So what need is there for lamentation? Tatraka paridevana. Accepting that there are two classes of philosophers, one believing in the existence of the soul and the other not believing in its existence, there is no cause for lamentation in either case. Non-believers in the existence of the soul are called atheists by followers of Vedic wisdom. Yet even if for argument's sake we accept the atheistic theory, there is still no cause for lamentation. Apart from the separate existence of the soul, the material elements remain unmanifested before creation. From this subtle state of unmanifestation comes manifestation, just as from ether air is generated, from air fire is generated, from fire water is generated, and from water earth becomes manifested. From the earth many varieties of manifestations take place. For example, a big skyscraper is manifested from the earth. When it is dismantled, the manifestation becomes again unmanifested and remains as atoms in the ultimate stage. The law of conservation of energy remains, but in the course of time, things are manifested and unmanifested. That is the difference. Then what cause is there for lamentation? In either manifestation or unmanifestation, somehow or other, even in the unmanifested stage, things are not lost. Both at the beginning and at the end, all elements remain unmanifested, and this does not make any real material difference. If we accept the Vedic conclusion as stated in Bhagavad Gita, antavanta ime deha, that these material bodies are perishable in due course of time, nityashokta sharirina, but that the soul is eternal, then we must remember always that the body is like a dress. Therefore, why lament the changing of a dress? The material body has no factual existence in relation to the eternal soul. It is something like a dream. In a dream, we may think of flying in the sky or sitting on a chariot as a king, but when we wake up, we can see that we are neither in the sky nor seated on the chariot. The Vedic wisdom encourages self-realization on the basis of the non-existence of the material body. Therefore, in either case, whether one believes in the existence of the soul or one does not believe in the existence of the soul, there is no cause for lamentation for loss of the body. In the Mahabharata, it is said, adarshanad ihayata punash chardarshanam gataha. This statement could support the theory of the atheistic scientist that the child in the womb of the mother has no life, but is simply a lump of matter. To follow this theory, if the lump of matter is aborted by a surgical operation, no life is killed. The body of a child is like a tumor, and if a tumor is operated upon and thrown away, no sin is involved. The same argument could be put forward in regard to the king and his queens. The body of the king was manifested from an unmanifested source, and again it became unmanifested from manifestation. Since the manifestation exists only in the middle, between the two points of unmanifestation, why should one cry for the body manifested in the interim? 38. It is wonderful that these elderly women do not have a higher sense of life than we do. Indeed, we are most fortunate. For although we are children and have been left to struggle in material life, unprotected by father and mother, and although we are very weak, we have not been vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals.
Thus, we have a firm belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given us protection even in the womb of the mother, will protect us everywhere. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesher Jnishtiti. The Lord is present in the core of everyone's heart. Thus, the Lord gives protection to everyone and gives the different types of bodies the living entity wants to enjoy. Everything is done by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not lament the birth and death of a living being, which have been arranged by the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasichaham pradisannavishto mataksmitir gyanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. One must act according to the direction of the Lord within the heart, but because the conditioned soul wants to act independently, the Lord gives him the facility to act and experience the reactions. The Lord says, Sarvadharmam paritya mam ekam sharanam braja. Give up all other duties and simply surrender unto me. One who does not abide by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given the facility to enjoy the material world. Instead of restricting him, the Lord gives the conditioned soul the opportunity to enjoy, so that by mature experience, after many, many births, bahunam jamanam mante, he will understand that surrender to the lotus feet of Vasudeva is the only duty of all living beings. Mature experience. That's an amazing purport, isn't it? How's everybody doing? Super good and getting better? Outstanding but still improving? Number 39. The boy addressed the woman, O weak woman, only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never diminished, is the entire world created, maintained, and again annihilated. This is the verdict of the Vedic knowledge. This material creation, consisting of the moving and non-moving, is exactly like his plaything. Being the Supreme Lord, he is completely competent to destroy and protect. Purport. In this regard, the queens might argue, if our husband was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when in the womb, why has he not been given protection now? To this question, the answer is, ya ichayesha srija tidham avyayo ya eva rakshat avalampate ya chayaha. One cannot argue with the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is always free, and therefore he can protect and can also annihilate. He is not our order carrier. Whatever he likes, he will do. Therefore, he is the Supreme Lord. The Lord does not create this material world at anyone's request, and therefore he can annihilate everything merely by his will. That is his supremacy. If one argues, why does he act in this way? The answer is that he can do so because he is supreme. No one can question his activities. If one argues, what is the purpose of this sinful creation and annihilation? The answer is that to prove his omnipotence, he can do anything, and no one can question him. If he were answerable to us concerning why he does something and why he does not, his supremacy would be curtailed. That's the only purport you need to preach. Just bring that out everywhere. Yeah. Let's survive. I think that should be our new line of frontline preaching. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street where everyone can see it, and yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus, the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive. Whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. Purport. These are examples of the supremacy of the Lord. Our plans to protect or annihilate do not act, but whatever he thinks of doing actually happens. The examples given in this regard are practical. Everyone has had such practical experiences, and there are also many other clear examples. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj said that a child is certainly dependent on his father and mother,
But in spite of their presence, the child is harassed in many ways. Sometimes, in spite of a supply of good medicine and an experienced physician, the patient does not survive. Therefore, since everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our only duty is to surrender unto Him and seek His protection. That makes a lot of sense. And that brings us to the cow break. We'll see you back here at 20 after. Go Premanande Haribo!
Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work. And when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies in different forms of life, he is not bound by them. For he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. Purport. Here it is very plainly explained that God is not responsible for the living entities accepting different types of bodies. One has to accept the body according to the laws of nature and one's own karma. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that a person engaged in material activities should be given directions by which he can intelligently apply his activities to the service of the Lord to become free from the material bondage of repeated birth and death. Sokarmana tamabhyarcha siddhim venditi manava. The Lord is always ready to give directions. Indeed, his directions are elaborately given in Bhagavad Gita. If we take advantage of these directions, then in spite of our being conditioned by the laws of material nature, we shall become free to attain our original constitution. Mameviye prapadyante mayamitam tarantite. We should have firm faith that the Lord is supreme.
And then if we surrender to him, thank you, he will take charge of us and indicate how we will get out of material life and return home back to Godhead. That's pretty fair. We should have firm faith that the Lord is superior and that if we surrender to him, he will take charge of us and indicate how we can get out of material life and return home back to Godhead. That's the answer to all questions. If anybody asks you anything, just answer with this. Without such surrender, one is obliged to accept a certain type of body according to his karma, sometimes as an animal, sometimes as a demigod, and so on. Although the body is obtained and lost in due course of time, the spirit soul does not actually mix with the body, but is subjugated by the particular modes of nature with which he is sinfully associated. Spiritual education changes one's consciousness so that one simply carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord and becomes free from the influence of the modes of material nature. 42. Just as a householder, although different from the identity of his house, thinks his house to be identical with him, so the conditioned soul, due to ignorance, accepts the body to be himself, although the body is actually different from the soul. This body is obtained through a combination of portions of earth, water, and fire, and when the earth, water, and fire are transformed in the course of time, the body is vanquished. The soul has nothing to do with this creation and dissolution of the body. Purport, we transmigrate from one body to another in bodies that are products of our illusion. But as spirit souls, we always exist separately from material conditional life. The example given here is that a house or car is always different from its owner. But because of attachment, the conditioned soul thinks it to be identical with him. A car or house is actually made of material elements. As long as the material elements combine together properly, the car or house exists. And when they are disassembled, the house or car is disassembled. The spirit soul, however, always remains as he is. Is there such a word as disassembled? What? Yeah, it has a different meaning. There's a word, disassembled. Now you know there he is. You hold on now. Dissembled. Dis. Dissembled. To hide under a false appearance. To hide under a false appearance. dissembling the facts. What did you use? Dissemble marathon. To put on the appearance of, simulate. She lay down and dissembled sleep. That's very interesting. It's to hide under a false appearance, dissembler. Oh, origin. Dissemblant, in Middle English, alteration of dissimulant from Middle French, dissimulare from Latin, dissimulare from dissimulate, dissimulare, dissimulate, to hide under a false appearance, dissemble. I like that word very much. I'm extremely enlivened by that word. Disassembled. The spirit soul, but not to be confused with disassembled. The spirit soul, however, always remains as he is. Text number 43. As fire, although situated in wood, is perceived to be different from the wood. As air, although situated within the mouth and nostrils, is perceived to be separate. And as the sky, although all-pervading, never mixes with anything, so the living entity, although now encaged within the material body, of which it is the source, is separate from it. Very helpful. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of God, it has explained that the material energy and spiritual energy both emanate from him. The material energy is described as me, na, prakriti, rashtadha, the eight separated energies of the Lord. But although the eight gross and subtle material energies, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, are stated to be bina, separate from the Lord, actually they are not. As fire appears separate from wood, and as the air flowing through the nostrils and mouth of the body appears separate from the body, so the paramatma, the Supreme Personality of God, it appears separate from the living entity, but is actually separate and not separate simultaneously. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bhedabhedatva propounded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the reactions of karma, the living entity appears separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually he is very intimately related with the Lord. Is in a dissembled state of separation. Consequently, even though we now seem neglected by the Lord, he is actually always alert to our activities. Under all circumstances, therefore, we should simply depend on the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus revive our intimate relationship with him. We must depend upon the authority and control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 44. Yamaraj continued, O lamenters, you are all fools. The person named Suyagya, for whom you lament, is still lying before you and has not gone anywhere. Then what is the cause for your lamentation? Previously he heard you and replied to you, but now, not finding him, you are lamenting. This is contradictory behavior, for you have never actually seen the person within the body who heard you and replied. There is no need for your lamentation, for the body you have always seen is lying here. Purport. This instruction by Yamaraj in the form of a boy is understandable even for a common man. A common man who considers the body the self is certainly comparable to an animal. Yasya mabudhi kunapetradakte sa eva gokara. But even a common man can understand that after death a person is gone. Although the body is still there, a dead man's relatives lament that the person has gone away, for a common man sees the body but cannot see the soul. As described in Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yatha dehe, the soul, the proprietor of the body, is within. After death, when the breath within the nostrils has stopped, one can understand that the person within the body, who is hearing and replying, has now gone. Therefore, in effect, the common man concludes that actually the spirit soul was different from the body,
and has now gone away. Thus, even a common man coming to his senses can know that the real person who was within the body and was hearing and replying was never seen. For that which was never seen, what is the need of lamentation? 45. In the body, the most important substance is the life air. Is that bug zapper turned on there, Mahindra? Can you check? It's not? OMG. They're circling like... Oh. All right. We'll just leave it the way it was. It'll come back on. In the body, the most important substance is the life air, but that also is neither the listener nor the speaker. Beyond even the life air, the soul also can do nothing, for the supersoul is actually the director in cooperation with the individual soul. The supersoul, conducting the activities of the body, is different from the body and living force. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead distinctly says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham pradishan nivishto mataksmitir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Although the Atma, or soul, is present in every material body, dehinosmin yatha dehe, he is not actually the chief person acting through the senses, mind, and so on. The soul can merely act in cooperation with the supersoul because it is the supersoul who gives him directions to act or not act. Mataksmitya jnanamapohanam cha. One cannot act without his sanction, for the supersoul is upadrashta and anumanta, the witness and sanctioner. One who studies carefully under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master can understand the real knowledge that the Supreme Personality of God is actually the conductor of all the activities of the individual soul and the controller of their results as well. Although the individual soul possesses the indriyas or senses, he is not actually the proprietor, for the proprietor is the supersoul. Consequently, the supersoul is called Hrishikesha, and the individual soul is advised by the direction of the supersoul to surrender to him and thus be happy. Sarvadharman pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja. Thus, he can become immortal and be transferred to the spiritual kingdom, where he will achieve the highest success of an eternal blissful form, a blissful life of knowledge. In conclusion, the individual soul is different from the body, senses, living force, and the airs within the body, and above him is the supersoul, who gives the individual soul all facilities. The individual soul, who renders everything to the supersoul, lives very happily within the body.
Text 46. The five material elements, the ten senses, and the mind all combine to form the various parts of the gross and subtle bodies. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. This strength can be perceived in living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. This strength can be perceived in a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. Purport. The conditioned soul has knowledge, and if he wants to fully utilize the gross and subtle bodies for his real advancement in life, he can do so. It is therefore said here that by his high intelligence, Swena Tejasa, by the superior power of superior knowledge achieved from the right source, the spiritual master or acharya, he can give up his conditional life in a material body and return home back to Godhead. However, if he wants to keep himself in the darkness of this material world, he can do so. The Lord confirms this as follows in Bhagavad Gita. Yanti deva vita devan pratinyanti prati vita bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti maya jinopi maam yanti maya jinopi maam yanti Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. The human body, the human form of body is valuable. One can use this body to go to the higher planetary systems, to Pitriloka, or he can remain in this lower planetary system. But if one tries, he can also return home, back to Godhead. This prowess is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supersoul. Therefore the Lord says, Mattak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. If one wants to receive real knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become free from bondage to repeated acceptance of material bodies. If one takes to the devotional service of the Lord and surrenders unto Him, the Lord is prepared to give one directions by which to return home, back to Godhead. But if one foolishly wants to keep himself in darkness, he can continue in a life of material existence. 47. As long as the spirit soul is covered by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego, he is bound to the results of his fruitive activities. Because of this covering, the spirit soul is connected with the material energy and must accordingly suffer material conditions and reversals continually, life after life. Purport. The living entity is bound by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego. At the time of death, therefore, the position of the mind becomes the cause for the next body. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam bhapi smaran bhavam tatyajanti kalivaram. At the time of death, the mind sets the criteria for the spirit souls being carried to another type of body. If a living being resists the dictation of the mind and engages the mind in the loving service of the Lord, the mind cannot degrade him. The duty of all human beings, therefore, is to keep the mind always engaged at the lotus feet of the Lord. Savai mana krishna padada vindiyo. When the mind is engaged at the lotus feet of the Lord of Krishna, the intelligence is purified, and then the intelligence gets inspiration from the Supersoul, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Thus, the living entity makes progress toward liberation from material bondage. The individual living soul is subject to the laws of fruitive activity, but the Supersoul, Paramatma, is not affected by the fruitive activities of the individual soul. As confirmed in the Vedic Upanishad, the Paramatma and the Jivatma, who were likened to two birds, are sitting in the body. The Jivatma is enjoying the suffering by eating the fruits of the bodily activities. But the Paramatma, who is free from such bondage, witnesses and sanctions the activities of the individual soul as the individual soul desires. Text 48. It is fruitless to see and talk of the material modes of nature and the resultant so-called happiness and distress if they were factual. This is like poetic justice. They're lamenting over the and the little kid comes and says all these really heavy things to him, you know. I mean, it's pretty dramatic. When the mind wanders during the day and a man begins to think himself extremely important, or when he dreams at night and sees a beautiful woman enjoying with him, these are merely false dreams. Similarly, the happiness and distress caused by the material senses should be understood to be meaningless. Understood to be what?
Meaningless.
Oh, I get it. Purport. The happiness and distress derived from the activities of the material senses are not actual happiness and distress. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita speaks of happiness that is transcendental to the material conception of life. Sukham atyantikam yattad murigrayam matindriyam. When our senses are purified of material contamination, they become atindriya, transcendental senses. And when the transcendental senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha, one can derive real transcendental pleasure. Whatever distress or happiness we manufacture by mental concoction through the subtle mind has no reality, but is simply a mental concoction. One should therefore not imagine so-called happiness through mental concoction. Rather, the best course is to engage the mind in the service of the Lord, Rishikesha, and thus feel real blissful life. There is a Vedic statement, Apama Soma Amrita Abhuma Asura Bir Biharama. With reference to such a conception, one wants to go to heavenly planets to enjoy with the young girls there and drink somarasa. Such imaginary pleasure, however, has no value. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Antavattupadam Tesham Tadbhavatyalpamedasam, men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Even if by fruitive activity or worship of the demigods one is elevated to the higher planetary systems for sense enjoyment, his situation is condemned in Bhagavad Gita as antavat, perishable. The happiness one enjoys in this way is like the pleasure of embracing a young woman in a dream. For some time it may be pleasing, but actually the basic principle is false. The mental concoction of happiness and distress in this material world are compared to dreams because of their falseness. All thoughts of obtaining happiness by using the material senses have a false background and therefore have no meaning. 49. Kind of like a cold bucket of water over the head. Those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. Purport. According to the Mimamsa philosophers, everything is eternal, nitya, and according to the Sankhya philosophers, everything is mitya, or anitya, impermanent. Nonetheless, without real knowledge of Atma, the soul, such philosophers must be bewildered and must continue to lament as Shudras. Srila Shukadeva Goswami therefore said to Parikshit Maharaj, Shuktivyadi Nirajendra Dvinam Santi Sahasrishaha Apashtatam Atmatatvam Griheshu Grihamedinam Griheshu Grihamedinam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. For ordinary persons engaged in material activities, there are many, many subject matters to understand, because such persons do not understand self-realization. One must therefore be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstances in life, he will remain steady in his vows. Consistency. 50. What? There was once a hunter. There was once a hunter who lured birds with... I've got to say that again, sorry. I'm so embarrassed with our expert, you know, Parivit over there is going like, oh, look, did you hear that? My God, this guy does, he's got the foggiest idea what he's doing. There was once a hunter who lured birds with food and captured them after spreading a net. He lived as if appointed by death personified as the killer of the birds. Purport. This is another incident from the histories.
Right. 51. While wandering in the forest, the hunter saw a pair of Kulinga birds. Of the two, the female was captivated by the hunter's lure. O queens of Suyugya, the male Kulinga bird, seeing his wife put into the greatest danger in the grip of providence, became very unhappy. Because of affection, the poor bird, being unable to release her, began to lament for his wife. Alas, how merciless is providence! My wife, unable to be helped by anyone, is in such an awkward position and lamenting for me. What will providence gain by taking away this poor bird? What will be the profit? If unkind providence takes away my wife, who is half of my body, why should he not take me also? What is the use of my living with half of my body, bereaved by loss of my wife? What shall I gain in this way? 55. The unfortunate baby birds, bereft of their mother, are waiting in the nest for her to feed them. They are still very small and have not yet grown their wings. How shall I be able to maintain them? This is the antidote to the Bart Maharaj conundrum. Purport. The bird is lamenting for the mother of his children because the mother naturally maintains and cares for the children. Yamaraj, however, in the guise of a small boy, has already explained that although his mother left him uncared for and wandering in the forest, the tigers and other ferocious animals had not eaten him. The real fact is that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects one, even though one be motherless and fatherless, one can be maintained by the goodwill of the Lord. Otherwise, if the Supreme Lord does not give one protection, one must suffer in spite of the presence of his father and mother. Another example is that sometimes a patient dies in spite of a good physician and good medicine. Thus, without the protection of the Lord, one cannot live, with or without parents. Another point in this verse is that fathers and mothers have protective feelings for their children, even in bird and beast society, not to speak of human society. In Kali Yuga, however, is so degraded that a father and mother even kill their children in the womb on the plea of their scientific knowledge that within the womb the child has no life. Prestigious medical practitioners give this opinion, and therefore the father and mother of this day kill their children within the womb. How degraded human society has become! Their scientific knowledge is so advanced that they think that within the egg and the embryo there is no life. Now these so-called scientists are receiving Nobel Prizes for advancing the theory of chemical evolution. But if chemical combinations are the source of life, why don't the scientists manufacture something like an egg through chemistry and put it in an incubator so that a chicken will come out? What is their answer? With their scientific knowledge, they are unable to create even an egg. Such scientists are described in Bhagavad Gita as Maya Pritigyana, fools whose real knowledge has been taken away. They are not men of knowledge, but they pose as scientists and philosophers, although their so-called theoretical knowledge cannot produce practical results.
Text 56. Because of the loss of his wife, the Kulinga bird lamented with tears in his eyes. Meanwhile, following the dictations of mature time, the hunter, who was very carefully hidden in the distance, released his arrow, which pierced the body of the Kulinga bird and killed him. Text 57. Thus Yamaraj, in the guise of a small boy, told all the queens, "You are all so foolish that you lament but do not see your own death.
afflicted by a poor fund of knowledge, you do not know that even if you lament for your dead husband for hundreds of years, you will never get him back alive. And in the meantime, your lives will be finished. Purport. Yamaraj once asked Maharaj Yudhishthira, "What is the most wonderful thing within this world?" Maharaj Yudhishthira replied, "Anyahani bhutani gacchanti ha yamayanam shesha stavaram chanti kimascharya matakparam kimascharya matakparam kinascharya matakparam." Hundreds and thousands of living entities meet death at every moment, but a foolish living being nonetheless thinks himself deathless and does not prepare for death. This is the most wonderful thing in the world. Everyone has to die because everyone is fully under the control of material nature. Yet everyone thinks that he is independent, that whatever he likes, he can do, that he will never meet death, but will live forever, and so on. So-called scientists are making various plans by which living entities in the future can live forever, but while they are thus pursuing such scientific knowledge, Yamaraj, in the course of time, will take them away from their business of so-called research.
How come it's hard to hear this?
Hello? 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 Text 58. Hiranyakashipu said, while Yamaraj, in the form of a small boy, was instructing all the relatives surrounding the dead body of Sudyagya, everyone was struck with wonder by his philosophical words. They could understand that everything material is temporary, not continuing to exist. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Antavanta ime deha nityasyukta sharirina. The body is perishable, but the soul within the body is imperishable. Therefore, the duty of those advanced in knowledge in human society is to study the constitutional position of the imperishable soul and not waste the valuable time of human life by merely maintaining the body and not considering life's real responsibility. Every human being should try to understand how the spirit soul can be happy and where he can attain an eternal blissful life of knowledge. Human beings are meant to study these subject matters, not to be absorbed in caring for the temporary body, which is sure to change. No one knows whether he will receive a human body again. There's no guarantee, for according to one's work, one may get anybody, from that of a demigod to that of a dog. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya comments, "Aham mama mimanandi tvat yatotam anityanam mahadhadi tatotam cha nitya chapi tatotita nitya chapi yatotita nitya chapi yatotita." Oh, asvatant. I didn't see the second one. Avatan triva prakriti svatantro nitya eva cha yatartha bhutas chapara eka eva janardana eka eva janardana eka eva janardana. Only Janardan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is ever existing, but his creation, the material world, is temporary. Therefore, everyone who is captivated by the material energy and absorbed in thinking, "I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine," is an illusion. One should think only of being eternally a part of Janardana. And one's endeavor in this material world, especially in this human form of life, should be to attain the association of Janardana by going back home, back to Godhead. Eka eva janardana, eva janardana. 59.
After instructing all the foolish relatives of Suryogya, Yamaraj, in the form of a boy, disappeared from their vision. Then the relatives of King Suryogya performed the ritualistic funeral ceremonies. Text 60. Therefore, none of you should be aggrieved for the loss of the body, whether your own or those of others. Only in ignorance does one make bodily distinctions, thinking, who am I? Who are the others? What is mine? What is for others? Purport. In this material world, the conception of self-preservation is the first law of nature. According to this conception, one should be interested in his personal safety and should then consider society friendship, love, nationality, community, and so on, which have all developed because of the bodily conception of life and a lack of knowledge of the spirit soul. This is called ajnana. As long as human society is in darkness and ignorance, men will continue to make huge arrangements in the bodily conception of life. This is described by Prahlad Maharaj as Brahma. In the materialistic conception, modern civilization makes enormous arrangements for huge roads, houses, mills, and factories, and this is man's conception of the advancement of civilization. People do not know, however, that at any time they themselves may be kicked out of the scene and forced to accept bodies that have nothing to do with these enormous homes, palaces, roads, and automobiles. Therefore, when Arjuna was thinking in terms of his bodily relationships with his kinsmen, Krishna immediately chastised him, saying, Kutastva kashmalavidam vishame samapashtinam anarya jushtam. This bodily conception of life is befitting the anaryas, the non-Aryans, who are not advanced in knowledge. An Aryan civilization is a civilization advanced in spiritual knowledge. Not merely by stamping oneself an Aryan does one become an Aryan. To keep oneself in the deepest, darkest darkness, considering spiritual knowledge, and at the same time claim to be an Aryan, is a non-Aryan position. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya quotes as follows from the Brahma by Bharata Purana. Atma kak par iti dehadya pikshaya nahi deha dir atmasyan nacha shatrur udirita ato dait hikit vidauva. Oops, I'm sorry. Chayeva kim prajonaram prajonam yastu deha gato jivak nahi rasham nagachchati tatak shatru vidau cha Swanashe shochanam kuta. My God. Ata atma vividishtu vasudeve ratistira chatruna shastada jnana nasho nanyak katachana nasho nanyak katachana nanyak katachana. The purport is that as long as we are in this human form of body, our duty is to understand the soul within the body. The body is not the self. We are different from the body, and therefore there is no question of friends, enemies, or responsibilities in terms of the bodily conception of life. One should not be very anxious about the body's changing from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to old age, and then to apparent annihilation. Rather, one should be very seriously concerned about the soul within the body and how to release the soul from the material clutches. Living entity within the body is never annihilated. Therefore, one should surely know that whether one has many friends or many enemies, his friends cannot help him, and his enemies cannot do him any harm.
That's a good lyric for a song.
Yeah.
One should know the living entity within the body is never annihilated. Therefore, one should surely know that whether one has many friends or many enemies, his friends cannot help him and his enemies can do him no harm. One should know that he is a spirit soul, Ahambrahmasmi, and that the constitutional position of the soul is unaffected by the changes of the body. In all circumstances, everyone as a spirit soul must be a devotee of Lord Vishnu and should not be concerned with bodily relationships, whether with friends or with enemies. One should know that neither we ourselves nor our enemies in the bodily concept of life are ever killed.
You got that right. Shri Narada Muni continued, Diti, the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, heard the instructions of Hiranyakashipu along with her daughter-in-law, Rushabhanu, Hiranyaksha's wife. I wonder what she's like. Hi, I'm Hiranyaksha's wife, Rushabhanu. She then forgot her grief over her son's death and thus engaged her mind and attention in understanding the real philosophy of life. There you go. Purport, when a relative dies, one certainly becomes very much interested in philosophy. But when the funeral ceremony is over, one again becomes attentive to materialism. Can we help you? Anything we can do for you here? What would you like to do? There's a power outlet down there if you'd like. Okay, we're going to play games. Even daitas, who are materialistic persons, sometimes think of philosophy when some relative meets death. The technical term for this attitude of the materialistic person is shmashana vairagya, or detachment in a cemetery or place of cremation. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, four classes of men receive an understanding of spiritual life in God: arto, the distressed; jignasu, the inquisitive; artarti, one who desires material gains; and jnani, one who is searching for knowledge. Especially when one is very much distressed by material conditions, one becomes interested in God. Therefore, Kunti Devi said in her prayers to Krishna that she preferred distress to a happy mood of life. In the material world, one who is happy forgets Krishna or God, but sometimes if one is actually pious but in distress, he remembers Krishna. Queen Kunti Devi therefore preferred distress because it is an opportunity for remembering Krishna. When Krishna was leaving Kunti Devi for his own country, Kunti Devi regretfully said that she was better off in distress because Krishna was always present, whereas now that the Pandavas were situated in their kingdom, Krishna was going away. For a devotee, distress is an opportunity to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Bravo! Bravissimo! Sadhu! Reflections? No questions, just reflections. Go right ahead.
It's very interesting that Hiranyakashipu speaks all this philosophy about, you know, losing someone and shouldn't be affected, and then he wants to kill Vishnu. Just like Kamsa, he felt some, you know, lamentation. Look how honest Vasudeva is, though. Take your kid away and say, wait a minute, no, I can't take any chances. So demons, unfortunately, their smasana vairagya is very short-lived.
Smasana vairagis. Back to the...
The medicines of Kamsa to kill all the children They also suggested to kill the cows and brahmanas. Then the, if you kill the brahmanas, of Lord, the same. In, this, in the first part, you were, what I heard, Jai Vijay, and at the center, but two children with two arms. Wondering why they would think I thought it was a little odd.
I know.
Yeah, I got one of these days I listened to the movement was. I heard Gopi Pranathana answer this question very nicely. And this is coming from one of our acharyas. I don't remember which acharya it is. But Jai and Vijay were prompted by the Lord because they understood the mind of the Lord. They're very intimate servants, actually. They're actually the doorkeepers of one of the last door. Intimate. There's seven all around and 28 doors, and they're like on the auspicious side and last door. And they understood the mind of the Lord that he wanted to play, he wanted to support, and they wanted to be able to serve him in that way. So they imposed this upon themselves, this desire. And then the goddess of fortune came, and you know, she was going out, I don't remember what she was doing, but she came through the gate, and they did or said something to her that made an offense. And that was an arrangement by the Lord to satisfy that desire of theirs, to satisfy his desire. And then when the four Kumaras came in, then they were able to do that.
There you have it. Sugiva? Anatta. It was for you, Nogar.
Oh, no, I was just poised to grab.
Poised only. Other reflections? What things did you heard that stuck? I always appreciate the Kalinga bird story. It's told two more times in the Bhagavatam. But it's just so, Kalinga birds are so cute, little baby birds, and everyone gets shot to smithereens and murdered in the nest. And it's just such a clear indication that we shouldn't become enamored of the external energy. You go to Japan, everything's cute. That's their theme there. Everything's got to look cute. And it's another kind of Maya that, like, you know, Hello Kitty, and, you know, everything's got a little smiley face. And the material energy, meanwhile, is rolling through, just crushing everybody while everyone's absorbed in the cuteness of it all. So this is kind of a sobering mood to that whole thing. That's why I said as an antidote to the conundrum of Bharat Maharaj, because, you know, what about the little fawn? It's like, okay, you can't save it anyway if you try to. And somebody has to have that conviction within to not become caught up. Prabhu.
I was just appreciating that we have been reading now like 5, 6, 7 canto, and it's a theme throughout that it's actually explained that where the acharyas describe the Bhagavatam is that literature which arises a sense of renunciation of the material world. And just find the pastime, every pastime is, you know, like bringing up the same point, you know, that material life is pointless and go back, you know, serve Krishna. And it's just nice, like I have heard from Keshavadi Maharaj many times, that we have to study all of, you know, read Prabhupada's books as the whole thing, you know, to get the message. And now that we're reading solidly for so many days, and the same message has been repeatedly kind of emphasized, you know, it's kind of having a different effect on my consciousness. And I'm really feeling the power, you know, of reading Prabhupada's books, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam.
The Bhagavatam is the over then. Nagar?
Okay. Yeah, I would like to just elaborate a little bit on that point.
You hold that a little closer somehow.
I can't have it. I was born like this. What can I do, you know? Yeah. If you hear this and don't like to hear it, even if you've heard it over and 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 over, you're still attached to your body. If you hear something that's true and you don't like to hear it, there's a problem. So therefore the Bhagavatam just forces you to hear it again and again and again and again and again until you like to hear it. Then you're on your way home.
Last point.
I was appreciating how much Shukadeva Goswami and Narada Muni were making the point of the necessity for getting absorbed in attachment to Krishna somehow or other, and just to see if him having that nature that anyone who's attracted to him gets purified. So the real disease is the indifference. So I was just thinking, you know, I really have to get attached to Krishna. Do I see a connection between the repeated theme that we're not the body and what I just said? Well, yeah, we're not the body is the negative, and then the attachment to Krishna is the positive. Also, or is detachment from the body and attachment to Krishna the same or similar? Well, in our line it is. In the terms, I was just more thinking about the Krishna, but of course that's part of it. You can't be attached without being detached from the body. But it just made me motivated. Somehow or other, get close, get attached.
Reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll take it up again tomorrow at 10:45. Thanks for joining us from online. Thanks for everybody in the studio audience. Go Premanande Nitai Gaura Hari Bo Hari Bo Nitai Gaura Hari Bo Nitai Gaura Hari Bo Hari Bo Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Hey!